It's 5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Thursday, August 6th, on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, applications are being accepted for a Stream Bank cost share program. But first, the University of Alaska is eliminating an out-of-state tuition rate. In a special meeting Tuesday, the Board of Regents unanimously approved making in-state tuition available for all students at all degree levels. The new tuition rates will go into effect the 2027 fall semester. Out-of-state tuition is currently at least double in-state tuition, depending on the campus and degree level. The university estimates 85% of non-resident students get a waiver and pay in-state tuition already, but that staff spend about 50 work hours a day to manage the waivers. Luke Fulp is the university's chief financial officer. He says the way tuition is currently handled for non-resident students is complicated.
It was a highly complex manual process of applying the rate, and then partially or fully discounting it on that student bill, which also added to the complexity and the questions that would be generated by students about what is the true cost and not truly being able to see that until they saw their bill.
Fulp says eliminating non-resident tuition would streamline the administrative work and make tuition more transparent for non-resident students. He says that campuses are expected to make up the revenue through increased enrollment. Currently, the Anchorage and Fairbanks campuses net more than $1 million in additional funding from out-of-state tuition, according to the meeting agenda. That makes up less than 2% of the university's tuition revenue. Fulp says eliminating the out-of-state tuition would allow staff to focus on enrollment and improving the student experience instead. Regent Joey Crum says this move makes the university a more competitive option with others in the lower 48.
We have to recognize where we're at, what we're competing with, and actually provide clarity and trustworthy numbers to attract people to Alaska. We have something nobody else does, which is Alaska. And the more we can get here, the better we are moving forward.
The University of Alaska Southeast began offering in-state tuition for all of its undergraduate students last year, but not for graduate students. The new tuition rates are expected to go into effect next year in the fall. The Board of Regents are expected to consider updating tuition rates at its next meeting in September. And finally, a program that helps people restore their private riverbanks is accepting applications through the end of September. The matching grants are administered by state and federal wildlife agencies with the goal of empowering people to be proactive about rehabilitating and sustaining salmon habitat. KDLL visited one past project site. Chug the black and white basset hound Mutt leads the way. His owners, Craig and Virginia Curry, follow, walking through their backyard to a staircase that drops dramatically to the turquoise Kenai River. Before last summer, the Currys estimate their riverbank retreated between 4 and 5 inches per year. When the water level would drop in the fall, it revealed their riverbank was caving in under a ledge poised for collapse.
When the river would go out, we would go and, you know, clean up around, people get fish line caught, and we noticed that the water was washing away underneath the bank. So our bank literally was here with this big gap.
That's when the Currys applied for help. The Stream Bank and Shoreline Rehabilitation and Protection Program started 3 years ago on the Kenai Peninsula. It's a grant-funded cost-share program jointly administered by state and federal fish and wildlife agencies. Each year, the program offers financial aid to private riverfront property owners who want to restore their banks and help salmon in the process. Maura Schumacher is a fish biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and helps administer the program. She says lush banks go a long way toward healthy salmon.
It's going to provide shade to keep them cool when the sun is out in the summer. It's going to provide food because insects live in that vegetation. They fall off of the vegetation into the water, so the little baby salmon are able to, you know, have a great diverse diet in these vegetated stream banks.
That's not to mention a decrease in water quality when clumps of sediment fall into the water, and when the lack of roots send unfiltered pollutants into the river via rainwater. To look at the Currys Bank now, it's tough to picture it ever retreating or caving in. Two removable aluminum platforms box in a densely vegetated stretch of about 200 feet. That's where a contractor laid nets made from coconut fiber and layered alders and willows like a stream bank lasagna. Greenery pokes up through the spaces in the elevated, light-penetrating walkway. Schumacher says the protruding flora is proof the project is working as intended. Sunlight is reaching the plants underneath the platform and helping them grow. Invisible near the surface are two tiny salmon swimming between the plant fronds.
The more vegetated mass you have above ground, you assume the more mass you have below ground, meaning that the root systems to these willows that we're seeing are helping to stabilize the bank.
Schumacher says they typically have around $100,000 per year to spend on the program. Administrators match what private property owners put up, so the net financial impact is closer to $200,000 per year. The Currys project cost almost $45,000, roughly 18 of which came from them. The rest was covered by federal grant money. The project was completed in under 60 days last year.
It's an investment. It's not 100% paid for, so you have to be willing to put out some cash. We were willing because
we were losing property.
And we love the river. You know, you don't want to see it deteriorate, and it was.
Schumacher says administrators use a rubric to score applicants and visit project sites before deciding which ones to fund. About a decade ago, she says $100,000 was enough to fund between 15 and 18 projects a year. Now, the same amount covers 8 or 9. 1 year after the project was finished, the Currys say their bolstered bank is holding up under the pressure of an Alaska fishing season. 19 members of their extended family came to visit, and the Currys say a lot of that was spent teaching their grandkids to fish for salmon. Here's Virginia again.
Even the little 8-year-olds have not had an issue fishing off of it. It didn't change anything, it made it better.
By participating in the program, landowners commit to upkeep of their riverbank for 10 years, the length of the project agreement. The state published a stream bank revegetation guide last year that helps inform the projects funded through the cost share program. And coordinators say there are other free resources for those unable to participate. Applications for the 2027 project cycle are due September 30th at 5 p.m. And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Jamie Deep in Juneau. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night.